Hello, St. Petersburg. Hello, Tampa Bay. Hello, all you local beaches. Happy Friday, Radio St. Pete. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and we are up next. St. Pete, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Well, right here on RadioSt.Pete.com.
.com.
.com, yeah.
You're going to be okay with it?
I guess. I don't know. Just another show where we've got all kinds of drama before the show starts.
Get with it, man.
I'm telling you, Steph is like a last-minute computer genius.
She always seems
to get us figured out before we have to go.
Well, not last week.
Well, I mean, we had a little bit of a delay, 20 minutes.
Nothing major, you know.
That's fashionably late.
Fashionably late.
Yeah. We're the cool.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it is Friday. It is happy hour.
Thank goodness.
And my arms are sore.
Oh.
Yeah, I signed on to the 22 push-ups in 22 days challenge on Wednesday. So today's Friday. Well, do the math. That's 66 push-ups.
Whoa. In 3 days.
In three days.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, my arms are sore.
Don't hurt yourself.
Which is a testimonial to how bad a shape I'm in.
I was going
to
say old age.
I try not to say that, Steph. I try not to say the old age thing. But, on Wednesday morning, when I did my 22 push-ups, it was... life-altering.
Life-ending.
My body had not gotten in that position in some time. There was all kinds of creaking and cracking, and things were sore before I even started doing anything.
Everything hurt.
Yeah. I remember I got to the first three push-ups that I don't even know you could even count as regulation push-ups, because yeah. I'm sure I didn't go all the way down. I'm glad I didn't have like a judge there to be like, oh, no. Those don't count. So I'm thinking on the first day, I really did 19.
Okay.
So I get to the first 10, and I'm like, oof.
It's good, right?
I might need to stop. But then it was like, if I stop, that's it. I'm done. I won't do any more. I'm done. So I powered through, and I did my 22 the first day, and I got up, and I was lightheaded. I was sweating a little bit. And I was wondering what in the hell I'd gotten myself into and why, you know.
Or what happened to you.
Right. The why is a good question. The why is it's all about veterans. And this is a, what do you want to call it, Steph? Like a fundraiser?
It's, well,
for or an awareness
an
type
awareness.
Thing?
An awareness.
It's kind of like the ice bucket challenge. But instead of dumping ice cold buckets of water on people, people are challenging other people to do 22 push-ups for 22 days.
Right.
I guess what the foundation is trying to get is a total of about 22 million push-ups.
Yes.
One of the things I don't understand about what's happening is I don't understand how the foundation gets any funding because, you know, they're not charging me to
right.
do this. They haven't asked me for a donation. And all of the money, all the proceeds, I guess, is going to go toward veterans. And this is a very sad statistic. It seems like, or not seems like, this is the truth. 22 veterans a day in the United States commit suicide.
Right.
That is astronomical, and it's very sad.
It's very sad.
Very sad. So a lot of this is going toward basically prevention through education and empowerment. I don't know. I can't think of a better cause.
Right. Exactly.
With what's going on overseas with our troops, I don't know that we've had military operations that just so involved. You see so many people come home now without limbs and things like that. It used to be back in the day, if you got blown up on the battlefield, well, that's where you die.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And because of new medicine, these people are coming home without a lot of limbs and things like that. And that's got to be hard to deal with.
Right.
And if you come home as a survivor and don't have any of those injuries, and your buddies did, you witnessed all that.
Right.
I mean,
now you have survivor's guilt.
That's right. It's got to play a toll on you.
And the horrendous things that they are exposed to.
Right.
What they see.
Absolutely.
In the line of duty.
Yeah. So anyway, the challenge is 22 push-ups for 22 days. Like I say, I'm 3 days in, 66. There is a website. There are several websites that you can go to. Just Google it. And there's like a ticker. And all you have to do is punch in however many push-ups you did that day, and it will add them to the ticker.
Right.
So quite a few people are doing it, because the last time I looked at the ticker, it had a pretty high number on it.
Good.
But still, not anywhere close to 22 million. Right.
Not enough.
Get on board, start doing your push-ups, and get them registered. And however it works out for the veterans, that can't be a bad thing.
No, definitely not.
Bad thing. Anyway, before we get any farther into the show, let me go ahead and introduce who we have in the studio this evening. Across the table from me is my little girl, Hannah Claire.
Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
Doing great.
Doing?
How are you?
Well, I'm great. to her right is my blushing bride, Stephanie.
Yes.
Who is, once again, pre-show stressed out. She is our producer, our technician. And before every show, it seems like we have some sort of issue that she has to fix.
Right. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. Anyway. And to her right is my boy, Ty Ginn.
Hi.
Yep. My name is Mark.
Yep.
my name is Mark, and I will be your host for the next,
Couple hours,
something like that.
However long we feel like keeping you.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right. What I would say is that it is Friday, and if you don't have a beverage, you might want to go ahead and get one.
Absolutely. Yep.
If you still have your shoes on, kick them off.
Yep.
If you still have your pants off, get rid of them.
If you still have them off, get rid of them.
No,
just throw them away.
If they're off already, just throw them away.
Just burn them.
Don't worry about it.
You're pants. Never going to need them again.
Never,
overrated.
You'll never see them again. Anyway, so what we do here on the show is every Friday before we get started, we have a pre-show dinner. And Stephanie, where did you go and what did we get?
Where did we go? We went to Jazzy's Barbecue.
Right.
They are... Oh, you have my paper.
Oh, here.
They're located at 1575 South Fort Harrison Avenue in Clearwater.
Okay.
They've been there a little over a year at that location. It's where the old Peppermill restaurant used to be.
Okay.
Okay, so that you can get a picture of it.
It looks to me like I read a little bit of that article. So I guess they started and still do have a location in Tampa?
Correct. Okay. For 20 years.
Right.
They've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, they are a barbecue place. Tonight, we got the family combo.
Right.
Which was a pound of the shredded pork. And it came with 3 pint-sized side orders. We had the macaroni and cheese, the green beans.
The macaroni and cheese that Hannah Claire was... fawning over.
Yes. Ordered the mac and cheese for Hannah.
Right.
Green beans, because I know you like those. And then I got the collard greens.
Collard greens, right.
For me. And then I also ordered a half a pound of the barbecue sausage.
Okay.
By the pound.
I had a piece of that. Hannah, when she took a bite of it, she said that it was pretty spicy.
Yes.
I didn't consider it too spicy for me, but I could see where somebody
It was spicy.
It had some spice to it.
But
yeah.
It was delicious.
Oh,
unbelievable good.
And then also cornbread. I got cornbread for us. I thought it was delicious.
Well, one of the things that I noticed is... just recently, we had our pre-show dinner was from Sonny's.
Right.
And Sonny's, I'm not taking anything away from them because Sonny's is fantastic. But when you walked in the door tonight, the smell of all of this food was unbelievable.
Yes.
It smelled so good.
And it all was very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jazzy's is actually owned by...
a former Buccaneer.
Exactly. Retired NFL player Johnny Ray Smith.
And his former Buccaneer cheerleader wife.
Right. His current wife, who is a former Buccaneer cheerleader.
Yeah.
And Jazzy's is actually named after their daughter, Jasmine.
Jasmine, right.
Very cool place.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you walk in, it's just, you start to drool.
You know what it reminds me of? Just looking at that picture of the owners. Remember that scene in Blues Brothers where they walk in and they're trying to get the guitar player,
right?
And Aretha Franklin, she's behind the counter, and it's like that's what I imagine that place looks like. They walk in and she's like, "You better think."
Exactly.
I want two whole chickens.
Yeah,
you can get that.
Right.
And what I noticed while I was there, and I hadn't seen this on their website or. Advertised anywhere else, but at this location, they have live jazz on Tuesdays from 6 to 9 p.m.
Right. I'd be interested to know if they are originally from, like, New Orleans. I'd be willing to bet they are.
Wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't surprise me, but it's definitely something I want to check out on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
With the live music. They still have their full menu.
How big a place was it?
It's actually, I was counting, there were 10 booths, 5 tables in the center, and then I would assume that the 3 tables at the end would be moved during the live jazz.
Okay.
So 15 times.
Well, I'm telling you, if it's live, like New Orleans style jazz, we got to go.
We have to go.
That's my kind of jazz.
The food is delicious, very reasonably priced.
And smells wonderful.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. One thing that I didn't get, just because I knew we had carrot cake at home.
Right.
But they have a 7-Up pound cake.
Oh.
Limited availability. And it looked wonderful.
Pound cake is one of my favorite things all time. Now, one of the things that, and this happens almost before every show, is I rarely get to eat before the show. One of the things I did get to eat was a cornbread muffin. Phenomenal. You know, a lot of times cornbread is dry and kind of grainy. This was like cornbread cake. So I can only imagine that pound cake is
the bomb. That pound cake is out of this world.
Yep. And we'll have to do that again. So that's Jazzy's.
Jazzy's Barbecue. On South Fort Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Their other locations, just quickly, they have the Tampa location, which is the original one, is 5703 West Waters Avenue.
Okay.
If you're on that side of the bridge.
On that side of the bay, everybody. Jazzy's.
But definitely worth the trip.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait until after the show to get into some of that beef.
Oh, it's
and it those good. Sausages.
It was good.
And I got a lot of it.
Yeah, probably going to make my push-ups for the rest of the weekend a little bit harder.
Yeah, maybe you should do that extra one for you.
Yeah.
Bump it up to 23.
It used to be do one for the core.
Right.
One for the core.
Now I'm doing
Batman.
One for my core.
Yes.
Which has gotten to be a little rounded. A little.
Scotch.
Kids.
Just a scotch.
Yeah. Don't get smart, Ty. Let's talk about sports, man. My Tampa Bay Buccaneers play their second preseason game tomorrow night at 7:30 in Jacksonville against the Jaguars.
Yes.
They apparently showed up in Jacksonville on Wednesday, and I guess this is the way it goes. They practice against them and have little scrimmages throughout the week, and then, you know, at the end of the week, they have an actual preseason game. I haven't heard anything negative so far. No major injuries. Just like every other preseason, there's some scuffles that happen. Right. You know, but that's normal, and that's one of the things that you like to see. It just means that your players are fired up.
Right.
I like
working
that.
Working hard.
Mm-hmm. Talk about fired up. I mean, this is only the second preseason game, but just knowing that the regular season is right around the corner.
I know. I'm so excited.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that. College football officially starts on September 3rd.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. That's just right around the corner as well. And my Gators, they play UMass. You know, a lot of teams, they have sort of a coaster game, a couple of coaster games, really, start the season off.
Depending on which team you're rooting for.
Yeah. So they will beat UMass. One of the things that I've been concerned about with the Gators is they really haven't had a stable quarterback since, really, Tim Tebow.
Right.
You know, and now they have picked a quarterback this year, Luke Del Rio.
Okay.
Who is the son of Jack Del Rio, former NFLer and coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Oh.
Yeah. So. He's
got a good pedigree.
He's got it in his blood anyway. You know.
It sounds good on paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a pretty big kid. He's like 6'1", 230 pounds. So that's a pretty good sized quarterback. Let's see. My Tampa Bay Rays start a weekend series tonight at the Trop against the Texas Rangers. If you go tonight, and if you're 18 or older with a valid student ID, you can get lower level tickets for $15.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
If you go tomorrow, Saturday, all fans will receive an infinity scarf. I saw a picture of it. It looks pretty cool. And tomorrow's game is at 6:10 p.m. That's Saturday. If you go on Sunday, kids 14 and under will receive a Raymond and DJ Kitty bobblehead, and there's a free concert after the game by Kids Bop Kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Kids Bop.
Whoa.
I have to say, I saw the bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Yeah.
I want one. So if I have any listeners, we have any listeners out there under 14 that wants to...
Sell us their bobblehead.
Sell us their bobblehead. Yeah. Give us a call.
Anyway, Sunday's game is at 1:10 p.m. So get out there and support our Rays.
Yes.
Let's see. Now, the Olympics. There's so much to talk about.
I know.
First of all, let me say, closing ceremonies are Sunday.
Okay.
All right. So everything's kind of winding down. Throughout the week, we've been watching. Nobody can get away from the whole, you know, the swimmers drama,
right,
that kind of thing. I want to say something before I mention all that about Usain Bolt.
Yes.
This guy is amazing.
Incredible.
He is a beast.
He is.
He just wins, and he wins with ease. It is. It's so fun to watch him run.
He doesn't even look like he's running.
He floats down
like
the track.
Walking.
It always seems like he's the last one out of the blocks.
Right.
You know, everybody's got, you know, a couple of strides lead on him. And then it's like he gets to halfway and he's like, okay, here I go, fellas. Yeah. And just blows right by him. I mean, true. And he's not even, it's like he's not huffing and puffing. All these other guys, their arms are pumping and their legs are pumping.
Oh, and they've got this grimace on their face.
And he's... And as he's like, running, he's smiling at the cameras.
Right.
I saw a picture of him in the paper the other day where he had such a lead on this guy. The picture shows him looking back at the guy behind him, smiling at him like, you're never going to catch me. But he's won, three golds.
Right.
I think the last one was in the 200 meter. And he said, you know, good. It's great to win the gold. He said, I just wish I had broken a record. And my whole thought is, if you quit mugging for the camera, you know, and
actually do it.
If you worked as hard as those other guys are working, you'd be at the finish line as soon as the gun went off.
Exactly.
Boom,
you know,
there.
it's not like, you know, you'd have to try that much harder.
Right.
I mean, I think he holds all the records anyway.
Yeah.
He'd be breaking his own records, you know. And if he tried a little bit harder and set a bigger number, I mean, those records would stand for decades.
Yeah, well, I think he...
He's playing cat and mouse is what he's doing.
Exactly.
There's that American Gatlin who is so close.
I know.
But you can just see that he's just toying with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gatlin is running and huffing and puffing, his knees and his legs are pumping and pumping. And here comes old Usain.
Yeah.
Just floats right on by.
The speed walker, the speed floater.
Everybody else at the end of the race, like laying on the track, and he's smiling for the camera.
He's ready to go again.
Yep, not a problem. Not a problem. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, a couple of things that I found that were kind of interesting, and this is about the Olympics. A lot of people want to know, well, what happens to Olympic facilities when the games are over?
Right.
And I saw this in the Week magazine this past week, and I thought kind of interesting. In 1990, the Lake Placid, New York, hosted the Winter Olympics. Now the building used to house the athletes now serves as a correctional institution holding 765 prisoners.
Wow.
So that's one thing. You know, before the Rio Olympics started, it's like they built like 33 buildings. It's like, well, what are they going to do with all those buildings when it's over? You know,
correctional facility.
Yeah.
Prison colony.
Yeah. In 2006, the Turin, Italy hosted the Winter Olympics. Now the buildings used to house the athletes are used to house more than 1,100 refugees from 30 different countries. So that's
nice.
Good that they're using it for that. I would think that, you know, once the Olympics were over, they would either sell them as condos or use it for public housing,
right?
Something like that. You know, you can't tell me that, and we talked about this before the Olympics even started, especially in Rio, that they couldn't use that for, you know, public housing there.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, we also said that, you know, they were, like, falling apart and all
well,
that.
Well, that's true, but, I mean...
But, you know, we haven't heard any reports.
No, we haven't heard
any...
anything like that. They were all over those reports before the Olympics started. And, you know, that's the media getting a handle on the public and trying to freak everybody out and, you know, make everything more dramatic, more exciting.
Well, they did a really good job.
Yes, yes, they did.
Yeah, yeah. One of the other things that I found out about this Olympics is it says 45% of the athletes at the Rio Olympics are women, the highest proportion ever. When women first entered the games in 1900, they represented just 2.2% of the competitors. Today, it's 45%. So that's pretty cool. Things have changed.
Yes, they have.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Last week when we did the show, we mentioned that the diving pool and the water polo pool had turned emerald green.
Well, at that point, only the diving pool was green.
Right.
Yeah.
And we noticed on Saturday when we were watching the water,
things were starting
to
turn.
Oh, that's awfully cloudy.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that somebody accidentally poured 80 liters or like 40 soda bottles, you know, 2 liter soda bottles.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Of hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, good.
Into the pool. And it had, and they did that before the Olympics started, like the day before the opening ceremonies, and it just took that long for it to affect the chemistry of the water.
The water. Yeah. And the diving pool is much smaller than...
So anyway, if you were wondering what the situation was, is well, that was it. Somebody accidentally...
It was user error.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, now, let's talk about these swimmers.
Mm-hmm. Swimmers?
I don't the U.S. swimmers and their night out in town where they got a little drunk and did some vandalizing.
Disorderly,
right. And then Ryan Pinocchio Lochte came back with this story about how they were all robbed at gunpoint. You know, he made sure he let everybody know that the other three sissies that he was with immediately got on the ground, but not him.
Mm-hmm.
He stood up to the gun, you know, go ahead and put that gun on my forehead, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a gold medalist, you know. Mm-hmm. Just complete crap. They said that they were in a taxi that was pulled over by some police impersonators, and they were robbed. Well, none of that ever happened.
None of it happened.
None of it ever happened. What actually did happen was they went to a gas station. They went into the bathroom.
They couldn't get into the bathroom.
Well, once they did get in, they started vandalizing. They ripped the signs off the wall. They ripped the soap dispenser off the wall, the door off the wall. They did all this stuff. And then when the security guard came around, he's like, hey, stop. And he actually did pull a gun on him and sat him down. And, you know, that's what the situation was.
Right. And demanded payment for the damages.
And they did.
Right then and there.
And they did pay.
Right.
And that should have been the end of the story.
Right. And it would have been.
You're in a foreign country. You did wrong. You paid. Now just go home and shut it.
And everybody was fine.
Yep. But old Ryan Pinocchio Lochte, he decides to get on, social media and tell this grandiose story to get everybody in an uproar and, you know, we need to be checking these people out and da-da-da-da. Brazil is such a dangerous place and, you know, just goes to show you, you know.
And then started doing interviews.
Yes.
And
yeah. I read the one interview where he talked to this guy named Mike Bush from Access Hollywood. And as you're reading his word-for-word, I guess, testimony, or not even a testimony, but what he said to this guy, Mike Bush, you can see that he's making the story up as he goes.
Yeah, because he's being asked for details that don't exist.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
it's a
shame. It's a shame that that happened. It's a shame that Ryan Lochte is so immature that he would do something like that, because it puts, you know, kind of a black eye on the United States.
Absolutely.
You know.
We didn't need any help.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, we don't need a whole lot of help. But, you know, that's certainly not. And we've done so well at the Olympics.
Right.
You know, we're leading in the gold count. I think I heard today that we have 100 medals overall. And I think 35 or 36 of them are gold.
Wow.
Half of them are Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, and that's what I heard is that one of the biggest downsides for Lochte is he is now going to lose all of his endorsements.
Probably.
All of them.
Absolutely.
And, he just didn't think.
Well, he's never been considered a bright guy.
No, but he thought he could get all this extra publicity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it has turned around, and it'll be the end.
I mean, there was a short time when there was a reality show that basically lampooned his life, and there wasn't a whole lot of lampooning. I mean, the guy he's not very bright,
right?
You know, I don't know. It's just sad. And if I were the other three swimmers, I'd be pissed.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be like, dude, we had this handled. We paid. Yeah. We went home.
Right.
We were supposed to get on our planes and go home the next day.
Right.
Why did you tell this story? Now we all look bad.
Right.
Not only did the four of them look bad, but it put, like I said, a black eye on the U.S. Olympics team. I don't know.
Yeah, the whole team.
Now we have to apologize, you know. I don't like to apologize to anybody.
For anything.
For anything. I just don't like to be
ever
put in that position. Stop it.
It's very Trumpy of you.
Yeah, I'm very Trumpy. One of the things I started thinking about earlier today, I called Ryan Pinocchio Lochte. Do you suppose there's anybody really named Pinocchio?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I mean, Pinocchio
in Italy,
took place in Italy, right? Wasn't that like Italian? Do you suppose there's actually people in Italy named Pinocchio?
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
I mean,
I do.
I can't believe we don't have any professional athletes here in the United States that aren't named Pinocchio. I mean, I can see somebody for like the Cowboys, Pinocchio Jones. You know, they have a Pac-Man Jones, Pinocchio Jones. I think that rings.
Mm-hmm.
I like that name.
Mm-hmm.
Pinocchio Jones, everybody.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll get the paperwork. You can change your name.
Anyway, you know, I'm kind of sad that the Olympics are going to be over on Sunday.
Yes, I'm going to miss it.
I've enjoyed it.
I have enjoyed it.
Yep. I've enjoyed it. I mean, they're down to the events that aren't so popular, but man, the ones that we were able to watch were pretty exciting.
Very exciting. I mean, even we watched things that we, you know, it's sports that we don't normally watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the bicycle racing.
That was tremendous. I thought
it was.
Yeah.
So it's just, it was a great opportunity to, I don't know, enjoy all different sporting events.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see who's ready for a beer.
Me.
Okay. We do need to do our weekly beer tasting.
Yes, we need to. We need to. Serious. Right now.
Yeah.
Get on it.
All right. Let's see. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. If at any time during the show, you can give us a call at 727-498-0502. When we come back, we'll tell you about the beer we're about to drink. Woo.
Me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Now you won't see no sad and teary eye when I get my wings and it's my time to fly.
Call my friends and tell them there's a party, come on by. Now just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Roll me up and smoke me when I die.
And if any- I don't always drink beer, but when I do, it's on the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Dad makes me do it.
Tonight, before you go to bed, make an inspection tour of your icebox. How's that Pabst Blue Ribbon supply holding out? Got enough bottles and cans? Remember, tomorrow's the beginning of a relaxing weekend. You'll be entertaining guests or listening to the radio or just getting that hungry, thirsty feeling when you want a snack of cheese and crackers topped off with a tall, cool foamer of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Tomorrow morning when your dealer says, what did you have? Say, Pabst Blue Ribbon. What else?
What else?
What else? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was dozed off.
You know, sometimes... What we might need to do before one of the shows is have a little practice.
Practice?
Get in sync. Because I don't know. I just think for whatever reason, that would be kind of... I know, Ty, you're looking at me like, oh, it's going to be so cheesy if we all say what else at the same time.
Well, it's funny.
It's a little gee.
Because you're as gee. soon as we went to the break, it was like, okay, I'm going to remember. We'll do the what else. Well, between the song and... To the end, my mind went somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh!
Right.
What else?
What's happening?
What?
What else?
Huh?
Anyway, all right, let me go ahead to the moist satchel and get tonight's offering. Here I go.
Gross. Hope it tastes better than the moist satchel.
I'm back here. Okay, I got it. I'm back. I'm opening it. Ooh, nice pop. Oh, sprayed a little bit on my computer screen.
Oh, fabulous.
Good job.
That'll be our next technical difficulty.
Yeah. Just hope I don't spill it on my keyboard.
Yeah. All right. There are sparks.
I'm pouring the first offering. It's got a very nice yellow tint to it. It doesn't look cloudy. It doesn't look too brown. It doesn't look grayish. It's got a very nice beer color.
Looks rather apple juicy.
It does.
Well, here in just a second.
Wow.
Yeah, it does look like apple juice, doesn't it? Let's see. Okay, we all have one. Let me tell you before we start that tonight's offering comes from Orange Blossom Brewing Company located in Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Lakeland.
Tonight's brew is called Orange Blossom Honey Pilsner. Who's going to be the first victim?
Well, it smells good.
Yeah. Oh, stop it.
It's not too bad. It's got that bite to it, though.
No, this one doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
This one's very smooth.
It's got a very light bite.
Just
I think it's good. Ty, what do you think?
It's not bad for a beer.
Can you taste the honey?
A little.
Yeah. I don't eat honey enough to really know what to expect.
That wasn't too bad, though.
No, I think it's very good. I really...
Do you know that honey's one of the best things that you can eat?
Yeah.
I mean, it really has a lot of healing powers.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Like, have a lot of natural antibiotics or something like
that?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's got a really good ad campaign.
Did you also
really
know that honey is one of the only things that never goes bad?
Yeah.
That's also very cool.
Very cool.
Lasts forever. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Hannah Claire, you kind of shivered when you took your sip. Didn't like it.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. I really like this one a lot. It's very mild.
Yep.
Not bitter. I don't you know, I don't have that crampy jaw thing going on.
Crampy jaw. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ty, what'd you think?
It was pretty all right.
Yeah, I think it's very good. It says, the can says there are 2.3 teaspoons of pure orange blossom honey in every can of orange blossom Pilsner. But don't go thinking you're getting a mouthful of sweetness. Sweetness.
They wrote that for you, Hannah.
They did. The fermentation process gives it a crisp, refreshing flavor, sans candy assery. It says that right on the can. Sans candy assery.
I like that.
So crack open a cold one. The bees need the work. What would you suppose it would pair best with?
Orange sickles. Or creamsicles.
Creamsicles.
All right. Orange sickles. Orange cycles.
Funny.
I need two more.
Look,
if we can't participate. The beach. All right.
Flowers.
And flowers.
And flowers.
Flowers.
All right, so tonight's offering from Orange Blossom Brewing Company located in Lakeland, Florida, which is called Orange Blossom Honey Pilsner, pairs best with, according to the Gin crew, and we're very happy hour crew, pairs best with creamsicles, beach, and flowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The alcohol content is 5.5% by volume.
Ooh, that's a little scarier than what it tastes cautious. Like.
Gin scale, I'm going to say 3 thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
3 thumbs up.
I would, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
And maybe the next time we go to Lakeland,
yeah,
maybe we should check out that brewery.
Yes.
Brewer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something else related to our beer tasting. You know, downtown St. Pete has so many new breweries.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one of the things I saw is that Green Bench is actually expanding. They are going to be moving a part of their company into the 5,000 square foot warehouse next door.
Oh.
So they are expanding.
Okay.
Yep. One of the more interesting things I saw, and this is something that's also happening, is not only is downtown going to be full of breweries, but our beaches are going to be full of them.
Oh.
Is it Mad Dog? Isn't that a brewery?
Mad Beach.
Mad Beach, right. That's
Mad
a brewery,
Beach
right?
Brewery.
They
yes.
have the vats there. I've seen them.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So
at
that's
John's
one.
Pass.
That place across the street, you know, right there at Sunset Beach.
Oh,
that used to be the travel agency, whatever it was. Isn't that a brewery? Or is that just a tap house?
I think that's just a tap house. I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Because
now,
that's a big building.
Right.
I've not been in there.
Well, here's the big news. Sea Dog Brewing.
Ooh.
Okay. They are going to open a location in Treasure Island. Can you guess where?
In Treasure Island?
Yep.
Where that little corner store used to be.
Yeah.
It's right over the bridge. Or not the corner store.
Nope.
But.
It's going to be, remember Captain Cosmoco's?
Yes.
That's where it's going to be.
Really?
Yep. I wasn't aware that Captain Cosmoco's was closed.
It's been closed for years.
Yeah, well, that's where it's going to be. Apparently, that's a 6,000 square foot building.
Oh, it's huge.
And it overlooks the Intercoastal, so it'll be kind of cool. Captain Cosmoco's, my memory of it was basically that's where you could go to meet old ladies who love to dance and smoke.
Right. It was the old lady meat market.
Yeah, it was. A lot of cougars in there.
A lot of hookups going on down there.
Whoa. I think my dad actually met somebody there.
Mm. You're going to get a phone call, mister.
Yeah. Yeah. Phone's not working tonight.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's pretty cool. They're going to be moving there. Now, this is located at 9610 Golf Boulevard, like I said, in Treasure Island. And they're looking to open up within the next 6 months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when I was down there not long ago, remember it used to be the Sunset Beach Cafe?
Yes.
And then it was Delilah's, the martini bar?
Right.
That building is gone.
You're kidding.
Torn down. So I'm wondering if that's going to be parking?
I used to love it when it was the Sunset Beach Cafe.
Yes.
Remember the owner, Dan?
Yeah.
What a cool guy he was.
Very cool guy.
That was cool.
In a cool place.
Yeah.
I was very sad to see that go.
Yep. All that was like lime green and white.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was very beachy, yeah. Very fun.
Good food.
Great food.
Great prices. Yeah, that was kind of cool. Let's see. Let's move right into movies and entertainment.
Movies.
Now, before the show, Hannah told me that she saw Sausage Party.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
All right, so what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
What'd you think about the language? Was it over the top? Were the sexual overtones over the top?
A little bit, yeah.
Were you offended?
I mean, I wasn't offended. You're 21. I can handle it, but like...
She's a big girl.
She can handle it.
It was a little weird.
Okay.
Definitely a little bizarre.
And it's got a lot of people in it.
Yeah. Like Edward Norton. And I didn't know Edward Norton was going to be in it.
Right.
He was a gay bagel.
Jack Black is in it.
Jack Black's in it?
Oh, yeah, he's...
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Jack Black's in it. Of course, Seth Rogen.
Do you know which one Jack Black was? Was he the falafel?
He plays he plays a heavier looking, like a fat character.
Hmm.
So whichever one that is. He's in it.
I know Danny McBride was Honey Mustard. Mm-hmm. Honey Muss.
Honey Muss.
Yeah.
Right. So you liked it?
Yeah. I mean, I did. It was pretty good.
It got really good reviews.
There was like a weird food orgy at the end that was a little graphic. But
Is that when they were all spoiled and got thrown away together?
Yeah.
Nothing better than seeing a bunch of hot dogs. Having an orgy.
Hot dogs and buns,
everybody.
The fire water was cool. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he was, but.
When did you go see it?
I think it was Tuesday.
Afternoon?
Early afternoon.
Was it crowded?
No.
Where'd you go?
Cobb Theater in Tyrone.
I really like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I still haven't been there.
It's good.
What was the age group of the crowd?
Older, definitely.
Really?
Older.
Well, she went in the afternoon.
Age? No, like older, you guys,
like us.
Oh. Yeah.
Huh?
Old.
Yeah. Okay. They were laughing and stuff. No one like walked out offended.
No one got offended. Okay. Yeah. They didn't like have the little bus from the senior living facility.
No, it wasn't like that old or anything. Okay. But, like, I don't know.
Drunk guy answered his phone. Was like, no, I don't like it. It's not a very accurate representation of food.
Yeah. It's cartoon. How can food be a cartoon?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It was
like a hot dog would have a house like this.
Yeah. It was all right. It was entertaining.
Like a hot dog would use that kind of language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would he date the white bun when he could have the whole wheat?
Right.
Twinkie was funny. It was named Twink. It's a little... Light in the loafers.
Yeah. Little twink. Mm.
Little twinkie.
So, Hannah, thank you for bringing us the information on Sausage Party. Now, what I want you to do is explain to everybody the movie that you tried to get Mom and I to watch the other night. The Jared Leto.
If you would actually have sat down,
Mr. Nobody,
shut up, and watched it.
Okay.
And watched it till the very end.
I didn't think it was ever going to end.
Make sense. It's a little trippy and out there in the middle, but it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed what I saw of it. I still have to watch the end.
Pretty much, okay, I could spoil it all. In the end, none of it...
None of it ever happened?
None of it's real. None of it's real.
Well, that's disappointing.
It's all a 9-year-old's make-believe mind when he's trying to decide on a very impossible decision.
Okay.
Should he stay with his dad, run after the train, or run away?
Oh,
I see.
In the end, he runs away. So the whole 2 hours
is just all speculation of what might have been.
Yes.
Right.
Is everything that is running through his little 9-year-old mind.
Mm-hmm. Great big
every
jip.
Possibility ever. It's probably M. Night Shyamalan or something.
Hey, you know what movie I haven't heard about since it opened? Is Suicide Squad. It's not in the paper anymore.
No.
I think I saw one commercial or heard one on the radio this week. They were saying that basically because even though it didn't get good reviews, that probably it would be the summer blockbuster. So here I have the weekend movies and what their dollar amounts were in millions for the first week. It led the list. Suicide Squad made $43.8 million dollars.
That's enough.
Yeah, it's good. Sausage Party, 33.6. Pete's Dragon, 21.5. Jason Bourne, 13.6. And Bad Moms, 11.5. That's a lot of movie, a lot of money for all those movies, really. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Let's see. What else? You know what movie I want to see? Is Ben-Hur.
Oh,
I love the original with Charlton Heston.
I've seen a couple of things.
Well, you know, I love period pieces.
Right.
So this is right up my alley. Right. And now this is a remake. It's going to be a lot more modern. And I would like to think that, like, I remember back in the day watching that famous chariot race and being blown away by that. Somebody actually died
right
during the filming of that. And I can only imagine that the chariot race in this movie is going to be pretty spectacular.
Okay. Well, I've heard that it...
Well, it only got a C.
It's not...
It looked a little cheesy.
It's not nearly as gritty and intense as the original.
Twilight with chariots.
Steve Purcell gave it a C. So, and you know, he's always right on the money, Ty.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll add it to our Netflix queue right in case we can't get to the movies.
Now, here's another movie I'd want to see is, what's it called? War Dogs.
Oh, yeah, that looked good.
That looks good. That looks good. That's with Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
That looks good. It looks like Jonah Hill's gained all his weight back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not skinny
much.
Jonah Hill anymore. Oh, I think he's better when he's fat anyway.
Did he lose weight?
Oh, yeah, he got real skinny.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where you could hardly recognize him. And he kind of got an attitude.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think he still has the attitude.
I've heard that he's kind of hard to work with.
Yeah.
But War Dogs got a B+.
If you've ever seen Jonah Hill in This Is the End,
that's good.
I'm pretty sure that's just how he is.
That's how he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No acting in that movie.
No, that was just real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's Jonah. A good movie.
That is a good movie.
It's a great one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here, Ty, do you have any idea who Kenny Baker is?
A person?
Well, do you know...
Probably a man.
Do you know who Kenny Baker was?
Someone who was alive.
Kenny Baker was the British actor who rose to fame playing R2-D2. He was the little man in the can.
Yep.
Little man in the can. He died last Saturday at the age of 81. He played R2-D2 in 6 Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's all but one of them.
It says that Mr. Baker was a little person. His adult height was reported to be 3'8".
How insane is that?
That's pretty little.
3'8".
That's little.
Says that he originally turned down the role because he didn't want to be stuck in a can all day. And then finally, after a lot of persuading, decided to do it as a favor to Star Wars creator George Lucas.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it says that some of the other movies that he was in that were fairly high profile, Mona Lisa, I don't know about that one, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Time Bandits, and Amadeus. So okay. He's been in some movies.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the other things, Making a Murderer?
Yes.
Okay, they keep promising that they're coming out with a new season.
Season 2.
With all new testimony, all new evidence, all this other stuff. You know, earlier this week, or it was late last week. Yeah. A federal judge overturned the conviction of Brendan Dassey, Avery's nephew.
Right.
Now, when that happened, Steve and Avery was like, okay, now the truth is starting to come out. Well, no. The truth isn't starting to come out. All that was a technicality. The judge basically said, we're going to throw out his conviction because his confession was coerced. Right. And the thing is, if you watched Making a Murderer, Brendan Dassey is so dim-witted.
Right.
You could have gotten him to say anything.
Exactly.
I don't even know if he knows to this day what he said.
If it hadn't been for that documentary,
right,
that I don't think his appeal would have ever been granted, or I think he would still be in prison. You know what? We really need to take a break.
All right. Well, let's do it. How do we want to do that? We're going to sign off and go right into a song?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do that. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. If at any time during the show you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Twice.